This is a podcast from Minute Media.
All right, dude, 1 o'clock, most important game of the week, Giants-Saints.
You know my feelings on it, Jerry. I think the Giants get out of here with a last-second win, and they go 1-3 and get ready for Dallas. I might be crazy, but that's what I'm going with.
I hope you're right, but I think you're wrong. 0-4, unfortunately. And if you thought it was bad this week, it's going to be even worse next week. Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider Podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. It's a victory Monday, buddy. Lots to talk about in this one. The range of emotions I felt yesterday, dude. I mean, I was ready to blow the whole thing up. And then by the end of the game, I'm like, okay, here's where we are. I'm still not happy with the defense. We have a franchise quarterback. Saquon's back. I mean, dude, I went all over the place in this one. Yeah. And look, we put it on Twitter a few times.
Yeah.
I mean, people reached out via instant message, about 60 of them apparently. Chris, you called it.
Oh.
We got to win.
Yeah, we got a lot of direct messages.
Oh, my God. It was funny. It was like, holy shit, Chris.
Well, look, Jerry, it's not like I'm Nostradamus or anything. And if I could pick these games like that, I'd be living in a mansion in Hawaii somewhere. So let's, you know, but we talked about it. I just like the matchups. I wasn't impressed with the Saints watching them on film and watching what they were doing the first few games. So I thought the Giants had a good chance. And it was weird, Jerry. It was very strange because even when they were down 21-10, I didn't think the game was over. It was the weirdest. Usually, like, you don't like say, for instance, say, they're losing 28-17 in the fourth quarter Sunday against Dallas. I'm going to be like, it's over, you know? This week, this past Sunday, even when it was 21-10, dude, I said, this game's not over. I just had that feeling that the Giants were going to strike. And the defense, the much maligned defense, did come up big twice in the fourth quarter. They got two stops when they needed it, which is a rarity, right, Jerry? We all know haven't got any big stops. we'll obviously get into them. And they have a horrific play in a little while as we move along here. But they did get two stops in the fourth quarter. Gave the offense a shot. They came back. And, then they got some big plays in the overtime. Let me ask you this, Jerry. When they won the toss in overtime, where Peppers was hysterical, but when they won the when they won the toss in overtime, did you think they were just going to march down the field and score?
I felt very good about it at that point. But I did not feel like you did at 21-10. And I'm not a downer. I just...
I'm the only idiot that did. Go ahead.
When it was 14-7, and we'll get into it, but the play call, second and goal from the two, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I thought, this is it. This is the big one. I'm done. Because I couldn't believe what I just saw.
Right.
And then that was after the Taysom Hill touchdown, where if I'd ever watched a football game before, I would think Taysom Hill was going to make the top 50 of the greatest athletes of the 21st century. Like, you had that countdown in the 20th century. Like, they knew he was getting the ball. When he's in, he's running. And we couldn't stop him. And I just thought to myself, if I never watched a football game, I would have thought this guy was the best player in the league yesterday. And it was 21-10. And I thought, we can't stop anything. We can't get anything going. They're killing us in time of possession. I did not feel the way you did. I'm amazed that you did, but you know what? Turned out you were right, dude.
Yeah, well, it worked out for the Giants. You know, and there's a few things as we start getting into that. I want to point out. So I put a tweet out last night. I'm thinking about it, and I put this tweet out. I said, "Well, I have a feel. A lot of people are like, Chris, what's wrong with you? It was Saquon. It was Daniel. It was Galladay. It was Tom." And I put out, you know, the real MVP of this game is,
great call, by the way,
offensive line coach Rob Sale. And people agree with me, right, Jerry? I mean, there's like a lot of likes. I thought people were gonna be like, are you out of your mind? You know, it should be Daniel Jones. But I think people got this, they got the idea what I was getting at, right? So Daniel, first off, how did Daniel look when he had a little time,
by the way? Oh, like a franchise quarterback.
Thank you. Two, so I actually asked Judge about this today. You know, so they're on their fourth guard. Four games, four guards. Left guards. I'm sorry, Jerry. Four left.
Yeah, no, right? Tenth lineman altogether. Yeah.
Right. They're on their second center.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you looked at that line yesterday, you wouldn't know it.
No.
Communication. I asked Judge about communication today, and I asked him about Matt Skura. We'll get into Skuro a little bit. But I thought the communication really went well. I thought they did a heck of a job. Now, there was a few twists they were a little late picking up on. But no sacks allowed. Zero sacks allowed. About 10 pressures, whatever. It happens during a game. A couple of hits, you know, all that. But Cameron Jordan did not blow the game up.
Nope.
The other guy, the former chief to Sasagi, and I'm not going to attempt to say his name, was quiet. Okay? Mm-hmm. And with the, you know, they threw Matt Skuro in during a week. He got the reps.
Yeah.
And he did a heck of a job. Now, let's, you know, let's not forget one thing about Matt Skuro. He's not a tomato. This guy's he's played a lot of football in this league, and he's played for the Ravens in the playoffs. I mean, he was a good center,
right?
About 3 years ago,
right?
Lost his job, you know, a little bit to Bradley Bozeman, and then they released. They moved on from him. But this is not a tomato here. This is a solid player. He's a pretty good player, Mascula, and he showed it yesterday. But the point being, Jerry, is that you know this is a lot of what 10 different combinations, Jerry. Whatever 10. You just said, right? Yeah. Yep. And Rob Sale is handling it pretty smoothly. And you know what? Andrew Thomas is playing at a Pro Bowl level.
You know, I always say this. When I read your tweets after I write something, it feels better because it feels like I at least didn't plagiarize it, right? We don't – Chris and I, we always take this. We don't talk
much. We have no idea what the hell we're going to write.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So when I write it after the game's over on a writing week
– especially that, yeah.
Right. The one thing I wrote – was that I loved his hand placement yesterday, and you said it, right? His hand placement, his balance, everything was awesome. And then you see you say it, and you see Baldinger say it. Mm. And it's validated. Like, the kid now looks like a fourth overall pick. I just got chilled by that. He looks like a fourth overall pick. I'm so excited. But he looks good now, Andrew Thomas.
Well, I tell you what, Jerry.
Yeah.
You look at Andrew this year, and, I talked about it a lot in training camp, right? Jerry, the kids having a solid camp. And then that thing happened against New England, and everybody was like, oh, you know, the walls came in, right?
Exactly what I wrote, actually. I said, Chris talked about him all training camp, and then everyone panicked when they saw that Patriots game.
And, including me. I was like, God, this ain't good. This ain't a good look, you know? But it was like a little hiccup, right? It was a little hiccup.
Yeah.
But you look at Andrew, and look, I talked about this, but I also say there's no excuses. So when you play injured, there's no excuses. Even if your production, isn't as good as it should be, there's no excuses. This is football, by the way. If you're out there, you have to perform, right? But that being said, he was playing on a bad wheel that needed surgery after the season.
Yeah.
Now, he has some. Now that bad ankle, you know, sometimes that makes you – it's like a correlation of not getting out set quick. Because he's having a hard time on it.
Yeah, good point.
And that knocks out a little bit of the other mechanics. Now, I'm not making excuses for Andrew. I'm really not. And he doesn't make excuses either, by the way. Okay. Right. He's a very stand-up type dude.
Yeah.
But you see, Jerry, the balance, the quickness in his feet, the way he's setting quick, striking those hands out.
Yeah.
Rob Sale's done a hell of a job with this guy, man.
He really is.
Pat Flaherty has done – let's not forget Pat Flaherty, old-time offensive line coach.
Yep.
Ben Wilkerson, assistant coach. You know, I'm not going to just say it's Sale. It's Big Ben. Mm-hmm. You got Flaherty. They're doing a hell of a job with this guy, man. I mean, you looked at him. So I'm looking at it on film yesterday, and I'm saying, wow, look at the way he's coming out and striking with his hands. And like you said, Jerry, it kind of makes you feel – and then you see Baldinger this morning.
Right.
And that's why I put it on Twitter. Hey, listen, if you don't want to take my word for it.
Right.
This guy's the best in the business at breaking this down. Go ahead. Yeah. He's saying the same freaking thing. I'm just telling you what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah.
And you see Andrew, he's getting out. He's getting those sets quick, and he's striking with the hands. And he's dominant. I don't want to say dominant, but he's just winning his battles, Jerry.
Well, yeah, you know? Right. And we want to say that, but he looks like the kid that we were expecting with a fourth overall pick. Like last year it was, he's the worst of the four tackles that were taken.
And he was.
Right. Yeah. And now you're seeing like, oh, wow, this is why, this was the talent. And when we had Syverson on last year, the one thing he said was he has the highest upside. And now you're seeing the coaching work with him, like you said, kind of injury free. And this is he looks like a dominant left tackle right now.
Jerry, in four games, he's only given up six pressures.
Yeah.
No sacks. Yep. Six pressures, dude.
Unbelievable.
In four games.
Yeah.
That's Pro Bowl type numbers.
Yeah.
He's playing at a Pro Bowl level right now. And you saw, you know what? And I'm watching it last night. I should have put this on Twitter. Baldy beat me to it today. You see how he's striking and get on run on his run on run plays, and he's striking and getting into the second level. Boom! Yeah, yeah. He's hitting, boom, getting into the second level.
Yeah.
And it's impressive. So that's one reason. To me, Jerry, that's the main reason why this line has settled down a lot and has played well the last few weeks. Andrew Thomas has been a rock at left tackle, dude.
Yeah, he has, and I want to bring up another name for you. We were all expecting Matt Parrott to be the right tackle. It didn't work out. And not many complaints about Nate Solder right now, dude.
No. Look, he's playing better than expected. Right. Now, is he playing a very sound right tackle? No. He gives up a hit last night, some pressures. He's given up a few sacks. But, after what we saw a couple years ago, he was horrific.
Right.
So he's not horrific at right tackle. He's doing all right. He's doing his job for the most part. Now, you remember, Jerry, you asked me about him and what do you think? You know, and I did say, look for a better Solder this year. Remember that?
Yeah, because of the year off.
I said, two things. The year off, body heals. Okay, you know, he's been around a long time, Nate. And two, he's another guy that was playing on a bad wheel in 2019. And he got that repaired, cleaned up, and he's playing better. You know, he's not a catastrophe of right tackle. He's doing the job for the most part, right, Jerry?
Right.
Will Hernandez is basically somewhat doing the job. He's doing some things on screens. He's getting to the second level on some runs. He opened up that hole, him and Nate opened up that last hole for Saquon in overtime. They got Saquon in. And we're going to get into Saquon a little bit in a few minutes. But, Jerry, look. Everybody was worried about the offensive line, and then Lemieux goes down, and Nick goes down, Gates, with a broken leg. And we were like, it's over, right? I mean, we were like, dude, what are we going to get?
Right.
They have been the biggest surprise on this team.
If you told me early in the year that the quarterback and the line would be okay, I'd say we'd be 3-1. And we should be. And that's the funny thing. When you win a game, you're like, we should have beat Washington, should have beat Atlanta, and should have, would have, could have. But – if you told me that early on, I would have said, oh, my God, this team's going to be 3-1, maybe 4-0, because the defense will be fine. Obviously not the case. But, dude, you said a mouthful. The offensive line is holding up way better than expected. I thought this would be the Achilles heel of the team.
Jerry, me, you, and I think everybody else on the planet thought that was going to, you know.
Yeah.
And right now they haven't been. Well, and one of the main reasons is absolutely, we just talked about Andrew Thomas. I mean, you know, when you have a rock solid left tackle, dude, you know. And the communication, you know, you know, Andrew Thomas has been next to four different guys in four games.
Unbelievable.
So, I credit Sale, Wilkerson, Pat Flaherty. Right now, they're doing a heck of a job with this line, Jerry.
Yeah.
They played a good game yesterday. Could we improve a little bit with some run blocking? Maybe. Yeah, we could. You know, no question about it. But all I could say is, Daniel got some time yesterday. And how did Daniel look, brother?
He looked incredible. Incredible.
Now, you got to play to his strengths, Jerry. They took shots down the field. 5+, 20+ yards attempt, right? Mm-hmm. 20 or more. 5 attempts. That's what you want to see, Jerry. You know, this isn't street ball. We're not in Brooklyn. You know, everything's a damn vertical. All right, run down to the fire hydrant on 38th Street. I'll throw you a bomb every play. No, this isn't street football. Okay. That's what you're looking for, Jerry. Those 3 to 5 verticals. You know?
Yeah.
The Saquon was really lined them up outside.
Yeah.
And they thought they had something on Marshawn Lattimore, and they weren't sure it was going to be there. And it was. Lattimore, you know, Saquon picked up something that Lattimore was doing. He was biting on an outs, and they felt they could do something, and it connected. Now, once
Because I was surprised it was on their best corner. I didn't see how that happened.
Yeah, so Marshawn was kind of in that zone, and he was thinking, he was looking to bite up.
Yeah.
Saquon got behind him. Daniel hit him with a perfect pass, and then Marcus Williams had no chance in the open field on Saquon. Now, let's talk about Saquon one second for a little bit, Jerry, if I may. Late in the second quarter, he did some dancing, spinning on us, and I put it out there, enough with the spinning now, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
Jerry, it seemed to me that late in that second quarter, I think after that drive, he went to the sideline and said to himself, I am going to be mother effing determined now. I am going to hit these damn holes.
Yeah.
And I am going to go watch me now.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like Jerry, tell me if I'm wrong, dude. It seemed like late in that first half, after that little spin again, and he had nowhere to go, but still he was trying to spin his crap and all that stuff. That all of a sudden he was blasting into holes, dude.
There was one run I noticed in particular. I think it was an 8-yard gain to the outside where he ran outside and the corner came up, and then he juked him and got around him for like 2 more yards and ran to the sideline and flipped the ball. And the way he did the whole thing, cutting to the outside and then faking the cornerback, and it looked like he's just a more confident runner. I forget what play it was and where it was in the game, but it was either the second or third quarter, and I thought maybe he's back now. So it's funny you say that, because there was one run where I noticed it, and I thought,
right,
you know what, he's looking like the old Saquon on that one, and then from there he went.
From what I understand, he gave a nice fiery halftime speech. I found out from somebody he gave a nice fiery halftime speech.
Yeah.
He was like, enough of this crap. We got to go out, you know, and do his thing. He was determined, dude. He admitted after the game that he's starting to feel like himself now.
Yeah.
All right. I thought it took 3.5 games, basically right up to that halftime mark, and he said, I'm here now. Watch this.
Yeah.
And he started, even an overtime run, Jerry, he cut to the right a little bit, saw that hole open, boom. No dancing. Boom. Yeah. Hit it.
I like the 18-yard play when it was either second and 14, I think.
We got screen.
The first, but before the fumble. Right there, I thought, this game's over. Then, of course, he fumbled. We recovered it. But that run, I thought, all right, you know what? He's back, baby. He's back.
Yeah, I thought, first off, I thought that was a great call by Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
That's second and 18. Okay?
Yeah.
Great film study. Great understanding of what their coordinator wants to do. Now, when you watch the Saints on film, Dennis Allen could be very aggressive, very aggressive. And when he's in second and third and longs, he just has to sit back in a cover two. A lot of times he'll come after you.
Right.
And you know what? Jason Garrett, he sort of goes, they're going to come after us on the second and 18. They did.
Yeah.
They
had
5. They banged that little screen out. Will Hernandez got out, did a great job. And Jason Garrett, look, Jerry. Garrett does a lot of things. We pointed out. We say a lot of things. He's a punching bag. I get it. But you think that me and you are going to sit here and have some effing agenda and say, well, you know what? He got lucky in our call because he stinks the other day. I mean, that's idiotic. When he does good things, when he calls a good game, we like you just said, you almost wanted to put your foot through the television in that jet sweep, right?
The issue I had with Garrett yesterday was that it seemed like the fourth quarters when he really started to attack. I know he threw the long pass to Ross, the first touchdown, but it just seemed like there was no flow to it early on. And I know the Saints had the ball a long time. They had 37 minutes, had the ball. We had it 23, and that included the overtime. So, you know, they really had the ball. They had 37. Yeah. They had it a long time. But I just felt like he really didn't get going until later. That jet sweep, I just talk about just getting cute. It's like, Jason, come on, don't do that. And then the third down throw really should have been intercepted. Lattimore should have picked it off, the one to Rudolph. But you're right. We don't have an agenda. We always say this, like, I want Evan Engram to do well. I'm still rooting for him. I want Jason Garrett to do well. But when he doesn't, we call it out. That's all.
Yeah, and he did a lot of good things yesterday, Garrett. This ain't the first time we saw him get kind of cute down there, too.
No, right,
Jerry?
With
that stupid jet sweep.
The problem is when it works, he does it again. It worked against Dallas like 2 years. Like, I don't know if it was last year. It worked before, and it's like I think he thinks like, I'm doing that again. Like, come on, you have Saquon, you have Gallard, you have so many weapons. What are you running a tight end jet sweep for? Anyway.
Yeah. So look, it was a horrific call. Didn't work out. We know that. And that's what drives you crazy about the guy. Really, seriously, that's what drives you crazy, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, Jerry, how did you like Kadarius Toney's feet?
Oh, man. I thought to myself, like we've been saying, if you're going to spend a first-round pick on a kid, and we know that he had an injury. We know that he had COVID. He took a while to get going. But like you said, it was like, all right, dude, let's go. Get him going, guys.
Yeah.
And this is why. Okay, this is why we spent a first-round pick on him. My God, he is electric when he gets the ball. I was going to say, dude, welcome to the Giants, John Ross and Kadarius Toney, baby.
I mean, Kadarius Toney is a legit weapon.
Yeah.
I mean, legit. What was that one play? It was like 3rd and 15.
Third and 18.
And he lowered his shoulder, got to the sticks. Now, Kadarius, we all know, hasn't gotten off to a good start in this organization, but he's getting it now, okay? But I always said something. I told you this back. I said, this kid's got a will to win. This kid wants to win. This kid will run through a wall to win a game. I like that about an athlete. Now, some of the other stuff, you know, it was rocky. You know, COVID, the media clowns, you know, this and that, you know, the on the sideline against Washington, can't have that crap, right? But did you see the way he lowered his shoulder and got those?
He
just didn't collapse, Jerry. Right. You know, like, all right, I'm done here. Fourth and
did it,
you know.
He did it a couple times. Did it a few times. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know what I mean? That kid sort of sticks, and he wanted to get to the sticks, dude. I've seen plenty of receivers just drop there, okay?
Yeah.
And now you got fourth and two instead of first down, okay?
Yeah. Right.
So determination, this kid, his foot movement is ridiculous, dude. Ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is.
He makes guys miss. Giants got him the ball. What do you have? 6 catches yesterday, 5 catches. They got him the ball. They got Golladay the ball. Golladay averaged like 20 a catch. Real physical. Okay. He showed that yesterday. Malcolm Jenkins tried to hit him, and Kenny Golladay basically lowered his shoulder, and
Jenkins
bounced off him.
As somebody who has killed us for years, I love seeing it, man.
So, hey, a real good effort as far as the offense. Down 21-10. They hit the big play to Saquon. Let's not forget how big that 2-point conversion was, right? With Daniel.
Oh, it was nice too.
He gets in because they don't win if he doesn't get that. Right.
Hesitating.
He gets in. They go down the field. They get a stop. They go down. They tie it up. Gano, who had a rare miss, Gano kicks the game time field goal. They win the toss, and the rest is history. So look, the offense, 485 yards, right? Daniel throws for 405.
Yeah. What was funny was the tweet was, he hasn't thrown for 300 since Pat Shurmur. And then when they open it up for him, look what he can do.
Yeah, they attacked more. Obviously, Ross is a vertical threat. They hit John Ross and the thing. And, you know, but John also came up big in that last drive with a couple of comeback routes. You know,
he did. And I didn't know he had that in him, Chris, to be honest with you. I just thought he was a burner.
Yeah, well, he basically was for the Bengals, Jerry.
Yeah.
You know, there's not much of a route tree with Ross, but he did.
Right.
He did come back, made some big plays, you know, and the overtime. Golladay with the big play. And here's the thing, Jerry, I want to point out too, and you know me now a long time, Jerry. What drives me ballistic is when you look at a team that you're playing, right, Jerry? And two things. Either they have a rookie corner going, or a corner gets hurt during the game and you don't attack them.
Right.
That is pet peeve of mine. Jerry, that drives me ballistic when you don't attack a kid that comes in, somebody gets injured, or you have a rookie starting and he's struggling.
Right.
So I put it out this week. I said, got to go after this kid. Right, Jerry? Got to go. Well, dude, they targeted him 9 times, 3 in the overtime. They went after the kid. Obviously, you're not going to go after Latimer. Latimer was one of the top corners, you know. But they were smart. You know, Jerry, Jones identified – part of the game plan, we're going to go after this kid. They did. It worked out. That's coaching, brother. I mean, that's what you have to do, brother. You know what I mean?
What was it? It always seemed like that happened to us, right? It was the opener of 2000, I think it was 2019 or 2018. 19. The DeAndre Baker draft, where Dallas just went after him. That whole like first quarter, and they got to get him out. You got to get him out.
Right.
It just seemed like it always happened to us, and we never did it, right? Or they would find, I don't know, dude, Grant Haley, and they would pick on him. But you said it last week. They didn't really do it against Atlanta. Their slot corner was struggling, and you were like, come on, attack. What are you doing? So that's the maddening part of Jason Garrett.
Right. So great job in doing that. Golladay played really well. So the offense. Offensive line, we went over it. Saquon's was a big factor in the second half, and the offense. Look, almost 500 yards of offense. Like, it's a pretty good look. That's a pretty good defense out there. That's not a bad defense, brother. On the defensive side of the ball, Jerry.
Hey, Chris, before we go to defense, guys, just want a little break here for our sponsor, Manscaped.com. Be right back. Attention, Giant Insider podcast listeners. And buffoons all the way from Australia to the swamps of Jersey. Guys, do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have the solution for you with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick those pubes to Philly, Washington, or Dallas. Just get them the hell out of East Rutherford with the Performance Package 4.0. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get ready for Giant Sundays by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20. FANSIDED20. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which I even use on my bald head, Weed Whacker, Ear and Nose Hair Trimmer, Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your gear. This fourth generation trimmer also features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch, can engage a travel lock, and it is even waterproof. The Lawnmower 4.0 also has a 4000K LED spotlight that you can turn on and off when needed for a more precise shave throughout your Cover 2 defense. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Are you kidding me? This nose and ear and hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those oh-so-delicate places. Don't forget to use the Crop Preserver, Ball Deodorant, and their Crop Reviver to help your special teams be on their A-game. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. For a clean Cover 3, your balls will thank you. And we're back. All right, Chris. Defensive side of the ball, buddy.
Yeah, Jerry, defensive side of the ball look, you know, no sacks, no quarterback hits. I mean, Jerry,
terrible.
All I'm going to say to you is, dude, they got away with it somewhat because Jameis Winston really doesn't have many weapons, you know. But that's not, they're not going to get away with that with these guys coming up Sunday. I promise you that.
Right.
Okay. And we'll get into Dallas later on in a week.
You sound exhausted talking about it. Well, the way you just know, said it. Like,
I'm looking at all of Dallas's stats. I'm watching what they've done the first four games. And we're going to get into them. Let's talk about this victory, you know?
Yeah.
We'll get into them at the end of the week. But all I can say is, you know, you can't have that against Dak and these guys coming up. Jerry, so that's alarming, dude. Lorenzo Carter, X-Man, are giving them nothing.
They're not taking the next step.
I put on Twitter last night, holy crap, we missed Kyle Fackrell.
Right.
At least he had, what, 8 sacks? What do you have last year, right?
Yeah, 7 or 8.
7 or 8, right?
And why not? Like, I know you guys wanted to move Carter Coughlin to the middle, but can we try him now, rushing the passer?
Well, Jerry, I mean, give the kid some reps on third down because nobody else is getting there.
No, they're not.
You know, now the alarming thing to me in the defense, the missed tackles was insane yesterday, how bad they were.
Terrible.
Obviously, the one play with Taysom Hill, where he looked like he broke 15 tackles. He broke about 5, I think.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing, Jerry.
Yeah, it was Tay Crowder, Austin Johnson, Adoree Jackson, and James Bradbury all had clean shots at him, not to mention anybody who had a passing shot at him.
Yeah, and he looked like Jim Brown running it.
I said he looked like him look like Jim Thorpe.
Yeah, he looked like Earl Campbell or something running it. I mean, what are we doing here? You know, so many missed. Jerry, the official count as per Pro Football Focus was 15. Jerry, I thought it was more than that, dude.
Yeah.
I have to be honest with you.
It felt like 50.
Right, Jerry? I thought it was more than that. That has to get straightened out big time. Judge already said today they're going to be working on a lot of stuff as far as that. I mean, you can't blame them, right?
No.
Not getting to the quarterback. Now, you see Alvin Kamara yesterday, 120 yards. You know, they ran the ball pretty good.
Mm.
You know, hence why that time of possession was way more than us, right?
And 170 yards total?
Yeah, 120 on the ground. I think another – No, he had 120 on the ground.
No, but I'm saying the whole team. I think it was 170.
Oh, like 170 on the ground. Right? You know, that's a lot of yards, dude.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You know, not good, no. Especially with like I just said, with these guys coming up Sunday who really could run the ball. So, Terry, obviously Blake Martinez missed big time yesterday, right? Crowder missing tackles. Reggie Ragland played all right, you know. One kid who's been quiet on the back end to me, who's not making an impact at all, is Xavier McKinney.
I know, right?
You know, he's not making an impact at all.
Right.
Bradbury, Adoree. You know, Bradbury had the interception.
Yeah, because it was underthrown.
It was underthrown by if that was Jameis, that's probably a touchdown.
Touchdown, yep.
You know, it was underthrown by Hill. Kind of got a break there. Peppers has been a liability in coverage. He gets beat for a touchdown yesterday again.
Horrible.
The defense continues, Jerry, continues to be a major disappointment, man.
And it's the part of the defense that we thought was not only going to be solid, we thought it was going to be very good. Borderline excellent, right? The corners, the safeties. We always said the whole time, I don't know about this pass rush. We don't know where it's going to come from. We figured somebody would step up outside of a rookie. The secondary, man. To me yesterday, like, I'm not just saying this to kiss up to my co-host, but I saw Julian Love as the most active guy out there yesterday.
Look, they haven't played well in four games, man.
No, they haven't.
I mean, and now you're going to start giving up chunks on the ground. You know, it's going to be ugly, man. You got some teams that are coming up that are really good offense. You know, you're not seeing, you know, you're coming up with Dallas and you got the Rams. You know, these teams got weapons all over the freaking field. You know what
and
I mean?
Early in the game, you saw Dexter Lawrence make a couple plays, but there's no consistency with it. That was it. It was two plays, and then you saw really nothing from anyone, really.
And then Danny Shelton was built like, a brick house. Danny he just Lawrence. Gets pushed around. Like he just gets pushed around all over the place out there. I mean, every time he was in yesterday, he was getting blown off the ball. Yeah. That's why I put it on Twitter. Like, come on now. What are we doing here? He's getting blown off the ball. Andreas Pete blew him off the ball once. Two straight plays. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, it was. It was terrible.
You know, you would think I slipped in there and put pants on it when he was blowing him off the ball, you know? I mean, come on. So, it goes to show you, folks, in football, you could be 6'4", 370 pounds. Doesn't mean you can play football.
Yeah.
Not that he can't, but you know what I'm getting at. It doesn't mean you're going to hold your gap and nobody's going to run on you. What, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
These guys are just as big over the opposite, and they're athletic, and they'll knock you on your ass, you know?
Yeah, and you know, you're talking about the defense. When you talk about the coaching, right? We talk about what Garrett does wrong. I have so much more leeway for Patrick Graham, Chris, because I don't know what he can do. Like if I'm coaching that defense, at least if I'm coaching the offense, I say, all right, these are my weapons. You got to try and get these guys the ball, blah blah blah. When you're coaching this defense, well, man's not working because your corners aren't playing well, zone's not doing anything. You have no pass rush. Like what is he supposed to do? Was he a magician? Like I don't know if I'm him. I mean, he has the most leeway for me right now.
Yeah, guys just aren't playing well, Jerry.
Right.
You know, guys are just not playing well.
Right. So when people criticize Graham, it's almost like, guys, what do you want him to do?
You got to beat the guy in front of you. You got to get to the quarterback. They just stop beating the guy in front of him.
When he calls for a blitz, they don't get there.
Nobody's getting there. Yeah. Right. Got some pressures, a few pressures, you know, but no quarterback hits during the game. I looked at every game, Jerry. Every game this week that was played, there was one team that had zero quarterback hits. We're the only ones, the Giants.
And we won.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So
it's amazing.
But Jerry, that's the thing where, you know, you got away with it this week, but there's better offenses coming in.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. Yeah. Dallas scares the crap out of me.
You know, and the Giants offense is, you know, coming off a solid game, man. You know, but the defense, once again, after 4 weeks, gives up another late score.
Yeah.
Before the half.
Yep.
Right? Now, we said positive. They got two good stops. They got two key stops in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They do. Let's see if they build off that, Jerry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This is quite a challenge coming up now. And Big D coming up. Let's see if they build off that.
Yeah.
You know? You got to hope they get some they start building off that. But, you know, the Austin Johnsons have been all right. You know, Shelton, to me, has been less than mediocre. Raymond Johnson, the kid they kept, Andre, he wasn't even active last game,
right.
You know? So, Jerry, Blake Martinez.
Missing Tomlinson, bud.
You missed, but you know what, Jerry, we could keep saying that.
I know.
But he's not here.
No,
he's
not
here.
I know.
You know, he's just not here. By the way, he had a sack yesterday. But he's not. But you know what? I know people, I see that on Twitter. And I've said it too, man. You know, he's really helped out Leo. Leo kind of misses him, but he's not here.
Yeah.
So he's not coming through the door. He's with the Vikes now for a few years. And Jerry, you know, obviously the Blake Martinez dude is a huge loss. Huge. You saw it yesterday, yep. You know, and you're going to really see it this week with Dak and Tony Pollard. You know, I mean,
happy thoughts, Chris. We're not getting the Dallas game yet.
Yeah, no, no. I'm just saying no, that Blake is I'm just a joking. Big, Blake's a big loss. But no, but look, dude, it's a nice comeback win. Let's see if they could build off that. You know what I mean? Because they go into Dallas, Jerry, and they knock off these guys who are playing really well right now, right?
Then it's going to be a fun tailgate.
It's going to be a fun October and November, right, dude?
Right.
And could it happen? Of course it could happen. You know what I mean? Of course it could happen. But because you know what? You look at that, and you might get Shep back this week, and you might get Slayton back, but they got so much depth. I was thinking about yesterday, Jerry, like Shep and Slayton didn't play. It was like really not that big of a deal, except for Shepard.
I was going to ask you this question.
But you got Tony, you got Galladay, you got,
If Shepard comes back.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Shepard. You love Shepard, but.
Don't mix it up, Jerry. Okay. In and out. All right. Look, you go to see. Look, Tony played.
Because we saw Tony now get the ball. We're like, oh, that's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, no, Jerry, Tony was in a slot about 30-something plays. He was on the outside about 20 plays.
Yeah.
That's what you'll see, Jerry. The kid's got to be on the field, dude. Then now, he's not going to be on the field 70 plays. But
okay, so for me, Slayton should be 4.
6. I got to – listen to me. Come on. I agree with you, brother.
All right, good. Okay.
Right now,
yeah,
it should be Galladay, Shep, and Slayton. I'm sorry, Jerry. Galladay, Tony, and Shep.
Yeah.
But you got the – Slayton's an outside guy too, but you could throw Tony outside. Then you could throw Shep outside. They're going to have to work it out because Tony is now giving him an impact game.
Yeah.
You can't take impact plays off the field, dude.
No, we always say that, right? We have nice players, but now you got a guy like Galladay who is clearly a one, right? He's a guy that wants the ball in the fourth quarter, came through big. Tony's exciting. It's like, guys, keep these guys on the field. Come on, you got it. You got to work these guys in.
Yeah.
And I think Slayton becomes your 4. I was going to say, dude, maybe you're 5 with John Ross.
So. Yeah, well. You know, Jerry, there's going to be, there'll be packages for Ross as far as, you're using him for obviously those big 8 routes or 9 verticals, and whatever else. And just having him on the field, you got to account for him. Don't forget that. Even if you line him on the outside, you got to account for him, dude. He'll blow by everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, look, Jerry, with the emergence of Tony now, with the, I guess we could call it the emergence of John Ross a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I hate to say it, Mr. Slayton, but your reps are going to be decreased.
I mean, I think Ross got 3 targets and 3 catches. I don't know. At least that's what I counted. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there were 4 targets.
And he's a vertical threat. We talked about it before. That's Jones's game. He's got to get those verticals in, right?
Yeah.
And Galladay, we all know what Kenny could do. And Jerry, tell me you don't love his physicality, dude.
Oh, when he bounced, was it bounced off Malcolm Jenkins for the
Well, Malcolm bounced off him.
Yeah, in the on that game tying field goal drive.
Yeah, I mean, he's a physical dude. You see, even though he had the 1 offensive interference, but he's out there. He's physical. He's physical. No, no, what I'm saying is that he's a physical dude. He's out there. Yeah. He'll knock you. He's a physical guy, man.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, this Kadarius Toney, he's not the biggest kid. We all know that, but he plays physical, man.
He looked bigger to me, though, than I was expecting. Isn't that weird? Like, I was watching him. I'm like, he's jacked. Like, he looks like a bigger kid.
Well, he's a solid kid, man. Yeah. The kid is a solid dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I'm just talking about as far as size, all that stuff. But he's built like a rock. He's physical. I've seen him up close numerous times. He's a physical kid. And you know what? That doesn't mean crap if you don't play physical, Jerry. You know,
right?
But you saw yesterday he has no problem playing physical, Tony.
You brought up Galladay with the penalty, Chris. That was only 1 of 3.
Cut that down,
big time.
That was huge. Cut that down,
huge.
Judge. Obviously, that was stressed this week. Jerry, I don't think the crowd was a factor at all.
Not at all.
Was it me, Jerry? Did you think that really wasn't a loud crowd? Usually they're much louder down here.
It was almost like they weren't into it.
Right?
And you figured being back, they'd be insane.
Jerry, for some reason, they didn't, except for maybe a few times in the game, they were getting a little, but other than that, they were usually like 60 minutes of loud, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that yesterday, man.
I mean, I saw a couple guys dressed in gold, and I was like, all right, but the noise wasn't anything. It didn't seem that loud, so, yeah.
Yeah, so crowd didn't bother him. Joe Judge, during the week, this week, actually had music blasting in the building during team meetings. Guys were walking to team meetings, it was Metallica blasting. It was Judge wanted to get them used to the noise.
Yeah.
That was the message, you know, get used to it. That's what Judge does. He likes doing stuff like that. And as far as management, you know, I thought Sean Payton, man, some of the things he did. I thought the two verticals in a row, that the one that was called back because of a hold, then he came right back there with Tyson Hill, not Winston, that Bradberry picked off. Usually you go two verticals in a row. I mean, you very, very rarely see that work. I thought that was a strange. And then that one challenge, Jerry, on the Barkley, that second down run.
I was like, thank you for that.
I'm like, Sean, why are you challenging that? Chris, very strange.
I'm not calling him Mike Martz, but it seemed like Drew Brees kept Peyton from doing that stuff. Because Drew Brees was so good, and I'll admit Drew Brees was good, but he was so good. Yeah, in the dome. In the dome, Drew Brees is great. That he was so good that he would keep the guy, keep like Tyson Hill off the field and keep Peyton from being his own worst enemy sometimes. That's my theory on Sean Payton. Yeah. He's like a mad scientist.
Jerry, I just think sometimes he overthinks. I remember when he was the coordinator with the Giants on the Fossil. A lot of times I used to go, mother F, and he used to be too cute sometimes. He overthinks some play. He would do some things in a play. Like, what are you doing, you know?
Right.
But the guy's a good offensive mind. We know that. But I just thought that was very strange yesterday when he did that, you know. So, Jerry, look, it's in this league, dude, it's not who you play. It's when you play them. Obviously, Jerry, if they were to play the same team a month from now, and then they would have Michael Thomas back, probably a different story, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you play Carolina now. Say you play Carolina now. The Giants played them in
three weeks, I think.
3 weeks, right, Jerry? Three weeks?
So. Yeah.
And they'll probably get McCaffrey back. But say he's not back. So now you're playing, and they're not the same offense without McCaffrey. Okay.
Right.
It's not, you know, that's why when you look at the schedule, Jerry, even when the games start, you can't say, oh, lost, man, you know, it's not who, it's when you play these teams, you know?
You guys can't see me. I'm laughing because if they didn't win yesterday, Chris, I would have no idea when they play Carolina. But because they're 1-3, right. I started looking at the schedule ahead and said, all right, who we got next? Right. Who we got after that? But if they went lost, I would have thought, I don't know, Carolina, they're playing what, the end of the year, December? So.
Right. And Jerry, you know, it's weird because, you know, if they would have lost yesterday to the Giants, everybody would have been going crazy. And nobody would be giving them a chance Sunday, right? Nobody.
Right.
But now you go 1-3, you beat a Saints team on the road, and now people are like, well, why can't we beat Dallas, right? And now it's like, can't we go in there Sunday and beat them, right, Jerry?
Yeah, and you think the defense would have a little bit of a chip saying, look, the offense clearly carried us, I mean, really, for three games. We lost two of them, but especially in this one. You know, you have some pride, guys. I know that you're going up against a lot of weapons, but why, like you said, why not us, man?
Yeah, you look at it like, okay, you know, why can't we go into Dallas and knock them off, right?
Right.
And it's like that, you know, the league changes constantly. You know, Jerry, you look at the Ram game, and the Rams got a better team, no question about it, but... Mm. 2 weeks ago, you looked at that Ram game, said the Giants have no chance of beating this team. Mm-hmm. And then the Rams get smoked by Arizona yesterday.
Isn't that amazing? That's amazing.
So now you look at it like, oh, all right, well, calm down with the Rams, right? I mean, that's the way this league is, bro. Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, it's week by week. I say that a million times. So 2 weeks ago, you looked at the Dallas game and said, you know, if they lost to the Falcons, you looked at the Dallas game and you say, we're going to get destroyed. You know what I mean?
Right.
And now you look at it like, you know, and you look what Dallas did yesterday, and you look at it in the Giants, you say, okay, why can't we go into Dallas and knock them off, right?
Yeah.
Right. Daniel's playing well. Saquon looks like he's got his wheels under him now. He looks like he's got it going. Yeah. Galladay's involved. You got the kid Tony involved. The offensive line's playing pretty well. And you say to yourself, okay, why can't we go in and put 30 spot on him? Right. And believe me, you could put a 30 spot on his defense.
Especially that secondary. Yep.
So.
One more question on Judge. When he punted with 9 minutes to go,
what I had no problem with that.
Really? Okay.
Was that the 4th and 7?
I think it was 4. They were like around midfield.
Yeah. Was it 4th and 7 though, Jerry?
I think it was 4th. I think so.
I mean, I don't.
It wasn't like 4th and 1.
No. It was like at least 4th and 5. Something like that. It was at least yards. There was some yards to it. I remember.
Yeah.
It was a long distance, 3rd, 4th down, which could be 5 yards or more. You know, long distance. Jerry, I got to be honest with you, dude. I know people were going. Did you go crazy with that?
The only reason I didn't like it was because the defense hadn't stopped them really yet. Like, they hadn't come up with a stop in a while. Right. And it was like, you're going to depend on your defense to get the ball back. And they did. So it was the right call. I mean, especially if they don't get it on there and it's 4, they get 6 yards or 5, and then the Saints get it at like the 50. But I didn't trust the defense at all. So, hey, right. It turned out right. But
Jerry, if it was fourth and two or something, I would have been like, are you freaking kidding me? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
But I just thought it was a little too long because, Jerry, the way I was thinking about it, like, why are people going crazy over this? Because there's a lot of time left, as you know, as it turned out, right?
There's 9 minutes
left. And then, Jerry, fourth and six, whatever it was, it's tough. It's difficult to make. Not that it's impossible, but it's difficult.
Yeah.
And if you don't, Jerry, the game's over.
Yeah, it's true.
Like Jerry, if there was 5 minutes left in the game, you got to go for it. There's no questions asked.
Right.
But there was like 10 or 11, whatever it was.
It was 9-something. Yeah.
9-something? Okay, yeah. It was 9-something.
Yeah.
I had no problem with Jerry because if you don't make it right there, dude, it's over.
Right.
So but I understand the other point of view. Like, how could you leave it, you know, even if you pin him deep, the defense can't really get stops, you know, and all that.
But they did,
But situational football, Jerry, I thought that was the right decision. And I'm not saying that because it worked out. You know me, Jerry. If I would have said that, I'm wrong.
Tweet it when you think the other
right.
way.
Right. Yeah. Jerry, I would have been all over it, right? I would have been tweeting it if I thought it was a stupid move, right? I would have been like, what are you doing, right?
Right.
I thought it was the right move. Yeah. It's situational football there. I thought Joe made the right decision, and it did work out for him. Obviously, if the Saints would have went down the field, Jerry, kicked it on the field goal, ate up 7 minutes of the clock, he would have got destroyed over it. But I thought at the time it was the right move.
All right, yeah, man. We covered, I think, everything.
What bothers you, dude? I mean, when you look at it, even only one, it's not this, and besides that, I mean, the missed tackles, Jerry, was the biggest thing that stuck in my... What, Jerry?
Defense is a complete mess. We can't get a pass rush.
Yeah.
We can't cover. Like, what the hell? I don't even know. Like I said, like, I don't know what I don't know what I would do if I was Patrick Graham. And what's aggravating me is not that you're bringing in Carl Banks off the bench, but can we try Carter Coughlin at least? Because no one else can get there. The rookie can, but was he going to get a sack every game and end up with 17 sacks? That wasn't realistic. Yeah. I mean, O'Shane Zimmon is, you said it, and Lorenzo Carter, I wrote this exact same thing. They're not getting there. They're not doing anything.
I thought Lo Carter was going to have a really solid season. And he hasn't done much, bro.
No, nothing.
He has been a disappointment. And this is one of the kids they were relying on to get the quarterback.
Right.
This is one of the kids.
Right.
And he got about 32 snaps, or whatever the hell he got, and 40 snaps maybe tops. And he's not doing it. They're not getting the job done.
Right.
When they're blitzing from the slot, they're blitzing in the A's or B's. They're not getting there, Jerry.
Yeah.
They're just not getting
it. And like you said, they let Kyler Fackrell go because they figured one of these guys would step up. But, man, I'd love to have him back on this team.
So I know, right, Jerry? Who would have thought you'd miss him?
Right.
And somebody tells me last night, well, you know, the Saints have one of the best offensive lines of football. Don't forget that. And I said, well, slow down. Slow down. Teron Armstead didn't play.
Right.
Eric McCoy didn't play.
Yeah.
They hadn't put Cesar Ruiz over the center. They put Throckmorton at right guard, and James Hurst was playing left tackle.
Yeah.
They had backups in there, dude.
Right.
You got to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
So don't give me this crap. Look, if it was Armstead playing McCoy, they had the whole five, I'd be like, it is one of the best offensive lines. I'll give you that. Even though there's no excuse for no quarterback hits anyway. Please, give me a break.
You're going to see that next Sunday. That's what scares me. Like, we couldn't do it yesterday. Dak's going to be able to do his taxes back there when he drops back to pass, for God's sake.
Yeah, Jerry, let me tell you something, dude. They're playing at a high level, these guys up front for Dallas. But Jerry.
So that's what bothers me, dude. It's the defense is just it's bad.
Jerry, right now. It's bad. Four games, and it's like they're not showing any signs of last season, right?
Not at all. Looks like a completely different unit.
Right?
And we have that second corner that should make everything easier.
Yeah, I mean, it's always playing all right, but, one time I even put it on Twitter, let me know when you want to get physical, Dory, because he kind of gave this half-ass tackle.
Called him out on it. Absolutely. Sure.
You know, Peppers who really, look, Pep played at a Pro Bowl level the second half of last season, Jerry.
Yep,
he's nowhere near that this year.
Not at all.
He's not making any impact when he's out there.
No.
Zero.
No, he was fooled horribly on that 15-yard touchdown. Terrible.
Yeah. I mean, we all know he wasn't the best cover guy, but he's getting exposed this year, dude.
But he always had, like you said, I think you said it last year, he always had bad technique, but he had the physical tools, and it just seems like this year he looks slow to me. I don't know.
Jerry, he always had questionable technique, bad technique, and that improved at the end of last year. But this year, dude, this year is like right back.
Yeah.
You know, four games, I'm waiting for Xavier to to make a little bit more of an impact. He's not.
No.
You know, Logan Ryan's been pretty good, you know. But, man, I tell you, Jerry, if we would have talked in August and said, Chris, we're going to have a podcast in October, what's today, the 4th, Jerry? On October 4th, and we'll be talking about how bad the defense is, I would have said, Jerry, what do you want, crack? You know, I would have been like, what's wrong with you, dude?
And, Chris, on the other side of that, the offensive line's going to be fine, and Daniel Jones is going to look like the real deal.
Which goes to show you, right, Jerry, you just don't know until you start playing the games.
Bro. No, you really don't.
You really don't know. You know, so, look, Leo Williams had 11 and a half sacks this year. After four, he's got one, and that was a cover sack. He's gotten, as usual, some pressures, but he has to step it up, Jerry. He's got to start disrupting the pocket, dude. You know, he's not.
Yeah. Because he's not coming from anywhere right now.
And he's not getting no help from anybody else.
Nope.
You know, he's not getting any help from anybody. Because Dalvin, although we just said, listen, he's not here, but how many times did he disrupt the pocket, too? Right?
Yep.
And Austin Johnson's, who am I missing, Jerry? Oh, Dex. Look, Dex is getting some pressures on that, but no sacks yet.
No.
You know? He's not getting much help. And you thought maybe some of the edge guys, Aziz has got three sacks, but he's a kid, Jerry. He's not going to go out there. He's not Lawrence Taylor. Sorry. Right. He's not going to go out there and get 15 sacks his first year.
Right.
It's not happening, dude. You know? So.
Yeah, and I would have liked to have seen Cam Brown, what he can do, what he's hurt. It's just like, it's not going to come from anywhere now. Like, unless you play... Give Carter Coughlin a shot. You know, unless Carter and Zimenez turn it on, this is what we got. And it's scary going like the next 2 weeks going against the Cowboys and the Rams.
Jerry, in my opinion, dude, I don't think there's any question of it. You have to get Coughlin some snaps on third down.
What did he do to not get a shot here?
I mean, to me...
Did he forget how to play the outside because you moved him to the middle? I don't know.
Because it's just common sense, because nobody else is doing anything, you know? Exactly. So get caught. He flashed at times last year. I'm not saying he's the answer. I'm not saying he's going to get you 10 sacks. But, I mean, am I crazy? Like, nobody else is doing the job. Get him some reps in there.
I said if you play him, he could be a 5-8 sack guy. He could be your Fackrell. And if you want to play him in the middle, play him there. Just get him in. Have him do something. Because what we're doing now is not working.
All I saw in training camp and the three preseason games was him shoot 8 gap blitzes.
Right.
So, I mean, to me, if I'm Joe Judge right now and I'm in a facility with Patrick, I'm like, Pat, we got to get this kid out there because unless me and you are going to get to the quarterback, nobody else is.
If he plays this week, do you know they listen to the podcast?
I don't know.
I'm calling it.
So... Like Garrett did last week, Jerry, with the verticals all over the place,
and the zone reads 2 weeks ago or against Washington. That's weird. All of a sudden, we can't stop doing the zone read after we bitched about it for 45 minutes.
Those guys, I know they're listening, right, Jerry? What the hell? You think they give us a little credit once in a while? You know what I mean?
Come on, Judge.
Yeah. You know, so
post game, I want to thank the John Insider podcast.
Imagine that.
That'd be awesome.
So that's where look, Jerry. Good win. Nice comeback win. You go in overtime, you take the ball, boom, you go down the field, and you knock your team off in a hostile environment.
Yeah.
On the road, we all know that, right, Jerry? The 0-3 season. Look, Jerry, let's face it, man. That season was basically on the line with that overtime game.
Period. Absolutely.
Because if you lose yesterday in overtime, you're 0-4 against Dallas and Iran. Dude, we're already talking about draft picks. I mean, are you kidding me?
And we don't want to talk about that yet, man.
Nah, not yet, Jerry. It's not even freaking Halloween yet. I mean,
come on.
I just put my Wolfman out there yesterday. I mean, I just did it yesterday. I mean, well, what the hell are we doing here? You know what
I
mean?
Nice.
You know, so come on, man. Are we really going to talk about that nonsense? You know, no. But if they would have lost, Jerry, yesterday, we'd be talking about, oh, Chris, what do you think draft pick? You know what I mean? Come on.
If they lost yesterday, then we'd go to 1 a week because we get too many questions about drafts.
Oh, my God. So now you're 1-3, and you're playing a tough team that's playing well, and you're feeling good about yourselves, Jerry. No matter what, they're feeling good about themselves right now.
So. Sent out the tweet this morning. Happy Monday, Giant fans. 700 likes. So everybody's feeling pretty good.
Was it 700 likes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the one you sent yesterday about Jones, I think, got like 1,200 or 1,300 or something ridiculous.
Holy crap. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that, dude.
Well, it's like
I got to start looking at this Twitter stuff.
No, like when the Giants win, it's just better for business.
Yeah. But it's everybody, the organization and Daniel's got. I mean, you know what? Before we leave, Jerry, how about Daniel? I mean, and I put something out there on Twitter before on purpose. Like I put, look, he's not perfect, right? We know that. but he's getting it, right? He's getting it.
You could see it.
And if you don't feel good about him now, you're just a hater, you know?
I think he needed a game-winning drive like that because he hasn't had one since the other Tampa game, since that first Tampa game.
Yeah, absolutely. 400 yards, Jerry.
402.
You know, 400 yards, right? Yeah. I think, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's... No matter who you play, that's still a damn good game, brother.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And you know, and they do have a secondary with a Pro Bowler on one side of the field.
Yeah, and a giant killer playing safety.
I was just going to say the two-time Super Bowl champion and a giant killer playing safety.
Right.
You know, and a pretty damn good inside linebacker, Demario Davis, and a pretty good edge guy in Cameron. You know, so you know it wasn't like it was a bunch of tomatoes out there, dude.
Yeah, we haven't beaten Malcolm Jenkins in like 6-7 years.
Right. So.
But he looked comfortable too yesterday. And the line helped him with that. But he just looked the part yesterday too. Like he was hitting everybody. And I apologize.
What'd you do now?
He's more accurate than Eli.
Oh,
he is. I'm not saying he's as clutch, but he's an accurate passer, Chris.
I can't. Lisa, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you and Jerry should meet and settle us, talk it out. You know, have a cup of Lisa. Get him some black coffee. He doesn't know what the hell that is, probably. But
get him some
black coffee. Get him a canola, Lisa, and talk it out. That's all I could say. You know, no violence. I know you want to stab him. Talk it out, Lisa. Go, Jerry. What is your problem? You know, and Jerry say, well, this is my problem. You know, back in 2005, we lost this game in the third week of the year. I still hold it against. You know, whatever you got to talk about.
Sounds about right.
You talk about, because Lisa, as you know, I don't get involved in this war between you and Jerry with Eli Manning.
This war. No, my point is, he's very accurate. And given time, you can see all the tools coming together. It's very exciting to see this.
Yeah, 60. Look, Jerry, he's at a career high 67%.
A
completion, I think 66.8 to be exact. You know, I'm sure somebody be like on Twitter, 66.8, you know, the gotcha people, you know.
Yeah.
67%, best ever. One interception in four games, and we all
garbage
know
that interception.
That was a Hail Mary. Come on. Yeah, we don't even count that, right?
No.
Shouldn't
count against your QBR either.
Right, Jerry. So, look, a lot of positive stuff, man, out of Daniel. A lot of positive stuff, bro.
Yep.
But the defense, whew, Jerry, I didn't think we'd be talking about this, but the defense has to get straightened out. These guys got to step it up to another level, dude.
Yep.
Especially this week coming up, brother. They're going to get blown out of this building, I'm telling you.
Well, we'll enjoy this, and then we'll preview the Cowboys, what, Wednesday, right?
Yeah, Wednesday. Maybe, probably Wednesday, right? Yeah.
We'll be happy for another 48 hours or so until we start talking about that.
So, okay, I tell you my date tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right, so tomorrow I'm going to play some golf. And I'm probably not going to play a good round. Why? Because my team up in Fenway are playing the one game playoff against the Yankees.
Can't believe you're bringing it up.
And I'll be thinking about that all day.
I was going to ask you this, so now that you're talking about it, is this like, okay, Giants play, all right, what's a comparable? If it's week 17 and they're playing Dallas or the Philly, win and get in.
Mm.
But now, compared to tomorrow, Red Sox, Yankees, what are you more nervous for?
Red Sox, Yankees.
Yeah, I figured that. Is it because it's the Yankees, too?
Oh, no. Well, I guess that always, adds it to. But it could have been the Red Sox, Mariners. It would be the same thing. But obviously, the Yankees adds a little more, yes. I mean, I'm still looking for payback for 78. So I'm looking for the payback tomorrow, Foley.
Yeah.
For 1978, when you got lucky.
I was going to shoot.
You weren't even born yet. Well,
I was 3 years old.
Okay, so you don't remember how lucky your team was in 78, especially when Remy hit that single. Forget about Bucky then. When Remy hit that single. You know, just quickly before we sign off, you know, everybody talks about the Bucky dent. That made it 3-2.
Hmm.
But the big home run was Reggie Jackson later on in the seventh inning. He made it 5-2 because the final score was 5-4. Okay, you Yankee buffoon fans. Oh, Bucky did. Reggie Jackson hit the key homer in that game.
I know, but was very unlikely that Dent, who choked
on
his
back. Yeah, I know that. You don't have to remind me. Okay, so, but the big play to that just shows you how the Yankees had busted, you know what, luck back then, okay?
Yeah.
When Remy hit that single to right, dropped in front of Pinella, who had no idea where the ball was. And he went like this.
Right.
Because if it gets by Pinella, the game's tied.
Yeah.
And you guys are going down the shitbowl. I'll tell you that right now. Right. But, you know, Pinella, with his eyes closed, stayed, with his all of a sudden, one hop. I mean, it was the luckiest play.
Yeah.
But those days are over, Foley. I'm like, dude, look at me. Look at me. It's 4-1 World Series of this century. And it's payback for 1978 tomorrow night.
I was not even going to text you from now until maybe Wednesday and say, hey, what time tonight? And if the Red Sox lost, I was probably just going to let you text me. I'm like, I'm not even going to bother him today.
No, I don't even bother you. I don't bother. You know,
you're passionate about the Red Sox. I don't mess with you.
But let's put it this way. It's going to be very intense around my household tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
Do you have any Yankee fans in the family or no?
No.
No. Okay.
No, I brainwashed everybody.
There you go.
Totally brainwashed them, you know.
Yeah.
I'm worse than the guy that upstate there that brainwashed about 500 women. What about that guy's name was? You know?
Yeah, no. You're not. My kids are in lockstep with me. Giants, Giants, Rangers, Yankees. So they know better or they're kicked out.
Anyway. There you go.
That's that. Anything else, pal?
No, it's a good Giant win, Jerry. 1-3. We'll talk about the Cowboys later on in the week, what we feel they have to do to get this win.
Yeah.
Daniel, hey, I think you're going to see more of Saquon now than you used to. And Daniel, dude, got to feel good about number 8, right, Jerry?
So. Absolutely right. Yep, and I'm happy for him, too, because the kid works his ass off.
Yep, and I feel good about Kenny Golladay getting more involved, and obviously the number 1 pick.
Yep.
And Kadarius and what he brings, because – hey, Jerry, just quickly before we leave, he's the type of kid, every time he gets the ball in his hands, you're like, whoa. You don't want to miss it.
Fun to watch.
You do not want to miss it because you don't know what he's going to do, right?
Yep.
He's that type of talent. Like, this kid could – some of the moves yesterday, I was like, what the
first time last week, and then I think it was the second catch yesterday where I was like, oh, my God. Like, and there's a still of him where all that rubber's kicked up on Twitter. It's an amazing shot.
Yeah.
But that's what he does. Like, I mean, the footwork on him is insane.
Yeah. Jerry's a number 1 pick. He's electrifying.
Yeah.
The kid's getting it. If that means less playing time, less reps for Slayton, then so be it. Because this kid, you can't take kids that are making an impact off the field. And he made an impact yesterday. You cannot give him 23 reps next game because Slayton's back or whatever the hell. It's Shep, Tony, and Golladay, in my opinion, Jerry. They'll make it work. One slot outside, slot outside. Two, you know, 12 personnel. When they go 11, they'll make it work outside because Tony's got to be on the field, dude.
Who does he remind you of?
Jerry, he reminds me, I mentioned it before, he reminds me a lot of Dante Hall back in, with the
That's
way he
one.
Moves with those feet.
That's a good
well,
one.
You have somebody in mind, Jerry?
I thought he reminded me of a little bit of Odell. When he gets the ball in his hand, he's just electric. I'm not saying catch-wise, like one hand and all that.
Well,
but when he gets the ball in his hand, you're like, I got to see what he's doing.
Well, you know what, Jerry? He's like a...
But Dante Hall's a good one. I didn't think
he's
that
like one. A different type than Odell. Like Odell will get a slant and he's gone, you know. Right. Odell will beat you on a vertical. He's so damn fast.
Yeah. Right.
Like he's like, how can I compare?
No, Dante Hall's good because he's very shifty.
Kadarius is like an electrified, like a more electric Odell in a different way. Like
that's fair.
Like he does it like with his feet. He'll make three guys. Like Odell will make you miss because of his speed.
True.
He gets in space and he's gone.
Right.
This kid, Tony, could have two guys in front of him and still make them miss and get to the sticks.
Right.
It's like they're both electric, in my opinion. Obviously, Kadarius just started. I'm not going to pick him.
Sure.
But they both bring that electricity, just a little different forms, Jerry, you know?
Yeah.
But both could get the same result. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Just, they just do the little.
Dante Hall was a good call.
Little, but Dante Hall had those shifty feet, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's five guys around him, and you're like, how did he get out of that?
Jerry, in my opinion, we have time, Jerry?
Yeah.
In my opinion, Davante Adams of the Packers has the best feet off the line of scrimmage in the league.
Yeah.
Not to mention he's a dynamic route runner, but he has probably the best release in the league. You watch Davante's feet when he releases, he's probably got the best in the league.
Yeah.
Route runner-wise, he's right up there. You're going to see one Sunday, by the way, with Amari. He's one of the best route runners, too. But, this kid... You look at Kadarius' feet, man. I mean, he's like right up there with Adams, the way he with those feet, getting off that line. And then when he gets the ball, the yak. I think I put it on Twitter. He had like 51. Hold on.
Yeah.
I think he had like 51 yak yards, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Golladay had 50. Tony had 51 yak. This is what you're going to get of this kid, dude. You're not tackling this kid in the open field, dude. I mean, it's going to be tough.
And we haven't had yak in a very long time.
Yeah, we got a couple of yakkers now, dude.
Yeah, boy. Nice. So, good stuff.
So.
All right, dude. Excellent job as always, man. It's nice to have a winning podcast for the first time in a, seems like 10 years, but very good. All right, guys, to order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com. Go to magster.com for a digital subscription. That's M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. And Chris, I don't really mean it, but good luck tomorrow. And hang in there.
Yeah, listen, it is what it is. You know, we'll see what happens tomorrow, brother.
Yeah. It means more to you than it does to me. I'll give you that, man. I've got to be honest with you, dude. It's not that I'm rooting against the Yankees. I'm just saying, in a way, it's like, it just means more to you. It's not that, if it was Rangers, I'd say, all right. Rangers, Devils.
That's all. You don't have to worry about that for a while.
Anyway. All right, guys, remember, Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Bye, everybody.